But turn with me, if you would, to the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And let us pray as we approach God's Word this morning. Lord God, in your infinite mercy and wisdom, you've given us your Word to listen to hear, and to obey. Today, help us to hear the words of Scripture and to live them now. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you're in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So in his movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger says some things, some famous things that maybe Jesus would also say. Do you know the most common phrase from Arnold Schwarzenegger? It's what? "I'll be back." So you may not be able to memorize scripture, but you know that one, right? There's also my favorite, "get to the chopper." But Jesus wouldn't have said that. But there's also another one that Arnold says in his movies, and it's "do it now." Do it now. There's a lot of wisdom tied up in this phrase. If you could sum up the parable that Jesus is teaching us today, it would be in the phrase, "do it now." You could wait, you could dither, you could take your time, but why do that? Do it now. The story of Lazarus and the rich man works something like this. The rich man had every opportunity here on earth to help one person, but didn't do it. The rich man and his family hear the Torah, possibly every day, but do not listen. They do not obey. As one of my teachers, band director, said when I was in junior high, I said, "You listen, but you do not hear." They listen, but they do not hear. They sit well off in their home with their extended family, and they eat and drink, listening to Torah, but doing nothing about it. They have the resources, and they talk about their faith, but do not follow the words of Moses, the prophets, and later Jesus. They do not need someone to awaken them. They should not need another prophet or the Son of God to come. They need to get on with the words of Scripture that they've already heard, particularly as it relates to caring for someone who is poor or sick in their midst. They should take care of Lazarus. They should note and notice Lazarus. If they can get Lazarus a doctor, they should. If they could give Lazarus some food, they should. We are responsible for following the commandments of the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, as well. Now, I'm not talking about taking up a kosher diet or following the Levitical laws closely, like not having two types of fabric woven together. You're probably all violating that commandment today. No, the important parts that Jesus and Moses pointed out, and the spirit of the law and the prophets and the Psalms and the Proverbs and Jesus say, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your enemies. Today, the danger is not that we do not talk about faith, but that our faith is just talk. Faith is the starting point. But the empty talk of the rich man landed him squarely in Hades. And if our talk is empty, so should we. For followers of Jesus, the challenge, having heard the gospel of the kingdom and believed, is to enact it today. The gospel of the teachings of the Bible remain the greatest challenge to and for our age. Faith means recognizing the needs around us and meeting that need in some way. Faith means recognizing that the world is not just until all know Jesus cares and they have been fed and clothed and cared for. We have our excuses. We've got to be wise. The challenges of our age are both simpler to see and more complicated to fix. There are more ways for our society, the world's society, to tame some of these intractable problems through technology and greater wealth. Yet racism, sexism, poverty, and senseless illness are everywhere. Hunger and thirst are everywhere. But so are the means to end them. Fear of the other today is no excuse, just as it was not an excuse in Jesus' day. I recently heard of a library in our state where the sons of Confederate veterans and a black sorority held their meeting at the same time. The irony should not be lost on any of us, but also the hope therein. How close people are to one another in space, but how far they are from each other's hearts and minds and the love of God. To be close and at cross purposes is not good. To be close yet out of sight and out of mind is contrary to the gospel and the hope for the future. Just because we here have privilege, luck, hard work, whatever we want to call it, does not excuse us from the world around us. God's kingdom is still calling, and God has called us so that we can take notice and do something. Let's talk about a person with sores like Lazarus. He's unclean, so he's cut off from the community, and he's cut off from work. His only chance for anything in life is begging. And notice that he seeks table scraps and not money. He's not a panhandler. He's truly in need. Think for a moment. He can't cook. He can't eat with people who can cook. He's lost to the world. He's lost to society. And he's at the mercy of others with resources. In some places, the homeless man like Lazarus in our country and in our day are becoming more and more visible. If you go to big cities in California and other places, there are tent cities popping up. The Lazarus population is growing. This is most likely caused by a few things. A decades-long effect of lost housing and the economic crisis, with overpriced housing in the cities and a lack of public housing. But more likely, this new homelessness crisis has been caused by drugs and mental illness, and by a lack of treatment for both. When someone needs treatment for these, if you can get them to go, they're not likely to be able to pay for their treatment. In Bedford County, we don't even have access to enough professionals who can assist and work with those who need mental health and drug treatment. A lack of understanding and empathy for the problems of mental health and the related issues caused for those in need fosters a real need. Lazarus is among us today. We just can't see him. There have been mental health tragedies in our Commonwealth, like Cray Deed's son, and yet we are still at this impasse. It's not a political issue, or not just a political issue. It's an issue for mercy for the Lazaruses among us. when we begin to notice them. There is a stigma attached to this problem, but we can end it. Don't worry, God has already seen the Lazaruses of this world. God already has mercy on them. We need to have mercy on them. Do it now. The other character in this story is Abraham. Abraham is the forefather of the people of Israel. He went before them all, he founded the nation, and he stands in this story in heaven because of his faith and because his deeds matched his faith even before the Torah. Paul in Galatians and the Epistle of James both remind us that Abraham trusted, believed, had faith, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Yet as James goes on to point out, Abraham's works flowed from his faith, and he would obviously be in heaven in the story. Abraham is the one to be followed, and Abraham is there when God takes Lazarus to heaven. And the words of the dead Abraham are true, because Abraham lives in Christ also. It is too late when we die to affect anything in this world. Lazarus, who was at the door, invisible and reachable, is now far away, untouchable, and clearly visible. All the rich man wants to know is now how to save his family from his failure to act. Maybe God could send someone to save them now. Maybe God could do it now. But God has already done that with the law, the prophets, and now Jesus. The hope is that we will act now, that we will have faith now and works. The hope is that we will not wait for more revelation or for somebody with a more convincing take on Jesus' gospel, not more strong feeling, not more spirit. You know what you should do, so do it now. What can we as followers of Jesus do today to do it now? First, we can read the scriptures. Hear the words of Jesus and the words of the scriptures with the prophets and Moses, the Old and New Testaments, to write them in our heads and on our hearts, so that when we are in situations all day long, those are the first words that come to our mind. Rather than getting vengeance on our enemies, as Jesus says, pray for your enemies, love your enemies. If those words would come to our mind, then the teachings would matter, and we could do it now. The other thing for Christians to remember is don't try to solve these problems alone. Helping the Lazaruses of the world take us all. It's not just the person whose door Lazarus sits at. All of us here are called to help in some way. And everyone who is called has heard the call to help the Lazaruses of this world. There's no one who has not had that call laid upon them through the scriptures and the words of Jesus. Jesus has called us not to heaven. One day we will be there with Christ, with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob, the God of the living, not the God of the dead. We will be there one day. But right now, Jesus has called us here to live among the living, to minister among the living, to make a difference in this world, among God's people now. We can, as the Westminster Confession says, as our chief end now, to glorify God and enjoy God forever. That starts now. Eternal life starts right now. Not after we die, now. Eternal life starts when we begin to enact the teachings of Jesus. Eternal life starts now when we begin to believe and follow him in every footstep of our lives. Eternal life is not for later. Eternal life is not for some other time. You can't hit the snooze button anymore. Eternal life is now. Do it now. There once was a little girl who was sleeping over at a friend's house overnight. And the mother did as mothers often do. They talked to the little girl and says, "Do you like broccoli?" And the little girl, and she was going to make a meal for them. She said, "Do you like broccoli?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I love broccoli. I love broccoli." So the mom said, "Well, great. Okay, well, we'll have dinner in a little while." So they all came down to dinner, and they passed the bowls around the table, and the little girl took none of the broccoli. And the mother whose house she was visiting said, "I thought you said that you love broccoli. Why didn't you take any broccoli out of the bowl?" And she says, "Oh, I do love broccoli, but just not enough to eat it." We don't want to be like the little girl with the Lazaruses of this world. Do it now. Love them not just as the way we say we love them, but love them enough to care for them now. Love them enough to act for now. Love God enough to follow God's commands. Do it now. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask that you give us love for the Lazaruses of this world, that having heard your teachings, having heard your ways, and having followed in your footsteps, bring us along the way to action, to do things for you, and to show the world your love through our actions, that they may see our faith in you. Amen.